Lorna and Laurie and our praise team and you fellows, people back in the sound booth, ushers, greeters, teachers, helpers. You all make this coming together in the Lord's name worthwhile and a blessing. So it was just over a year ago, and it's hard to believe it's been that long ago, but a year ago, October the 18th, that I was in the pulpit here, and I said these words. I never knew or know if this is the last opportunity I will have to share the scriptures with you. And here I am, four sermons later, and I'm still here. Well, thank you, Lord. It's such an honor and privilege to be able to do this. So I'm departing a little from the usual sermon I give or message. This one will be a little different. But in the few messages that I have spoken from this pulpit, I've mentioned how we can find hidden treasure in reading and studying the Bible. How we can have, according to Colossians chapter 2, the full assurance of understanding, of knowledge, of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Well, this morning, for me at least, this line from Psalm 84, verse 6, hope you have your Bibles, is one of these treasures. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a well. The rain also covers it with pools. And if you've ever read through the Bible, you would have read this verse, and you may just have passed over it and never given it a second thought. Well, the first time and the only time I've ever heard this scripture from a pulpit was many, many years ago. I say many, many years ago, when I was a young man and a young Christian in my 20s. I was attending the annual Baptist Convention of the Maritime Provinces that's held at Acadia University every year in Nova Scotia. Anybody here from the Maritimes? Me. Two. Hey. Which province? All right. That's where Acadia University is. I'm from New Brunswick, my wife and I. Anyway, the devotional speaker there used this verse for his message. And to this day, I don't remember his name, and I don't remember virtually anything of what he said. But I have never forgotten the thought, the uplifting impression that it left with me. So lately this has been coming to my mind, especially as I see and feel the pain and the suffering in so many of you here in my church family. So I feel the time is here that I should try to recapture and uncover what God would have us hear from his word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity we have to preach your word, and may we discover anew the joy that you have already placed in our hearts, and may our hearts leap with joy, that joy because you dwell in us through our faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Lift up our spirit this morning. May we inwardly sing praises to your holy name. You are the rock of our salvation. In times of trouble, you are our comforter. You are our physician. You are our healer, our friend. Make us understand, Lord, that nothing can happen to us outside of your will as we faithfully walk with you. And help us to understand, Lord, this message because it applies to each one of us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I'll give you some background on this psalm. It's said to have been written by the sons of Korah. Their history begins in Numbers chapter 3 with Levi. And as we know, the Levites were responsible for the religious functions of Israel. Korath was the second of Levi's sons, Korath. Through him came Korah, and thus the sons of Korah. Their names were Asser, A-S-S-I-R, Elkanah, and Abiasaph. 11 of the Psalms are from these sons of Korah. And you can find this lineage, if you want, in Exodus chapter 6. They had been appointed by David to serve in the temple and had an active part in the worship procedures that took place there. And just, you've heard the passages read this morning from the 84th Psalm. I'm just going to give you a few of them back. How expressive they are and how heartfelt the Psalm's words are and how worshipful and how submissive and how confident and trusting they are. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God, my King and my God. Blessed is the one whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. And we're going to talk about that word this morning. Pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a well or a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. A day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. No good thing will he withhold for those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the person who trusts in you. Beautiful words. Blessed is the one whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. This portion of scripture is about Israel, and the psalmist is giving us a description of a company of pilgrims with their faces set toward Zion, going to the holy city, Jerusalem. So this is a song of pilgrimage, about going on a journey. Every Jewish male was required to worship at the temple at least 3 times a year, if at all possible. For many families, it was the highlight of the year to be able to go to Jerusalem and see the sights and sounds of the big city, to be able to enter into the temple and see the splendor of it. Many traveled great distances and endured hardship to be able to make it to Jerusalem. The way was sometimes discouraging, so they would sing and worship as they traveled. This psalm is believed to be one of those that they sung to remind them of the glory of God's house, especially during the discouraging parts of the journey. The objective of this psalm is to express deep longing for the presence of God, to be in his house, to be in his courts, and to dwell in his presence. But first they must go through the valley, as verse 6 says, those whose heart is set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. Baca is affirmed by some Jewish and other writers to be very dry, waterless, and barren valley through which these pilgrims must pass through on their journey to Jerusalem, which made it unpleasant and inconvenient. It was not a friendly place. The word Baca means tears or weeping and misery. So they were traveling through a place that caused them grief with tears. After the temple was restored and the Jewish people returned to Jerusalem, this psalm was often used as a source of strength to remember how God blesses during times of weeping. That's important. How God blesses during times of weeping. There's no way around this valley, only through it. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. You will walk through this valley that represents the dry times, the sad moments of our lives. Those things in life that bring us pain or suffering can do one of two things. They can either discourage us or strengthen us. When we walk through this valley as a child of God, Jesus walks with us. He carries you and me through the rough places. Another fact about this valley is that it is a temporary walk. Weeping will be turned to joy. The lyrics of an old hymn would apply here. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. But let's see how this applies to our lives this morning. As with many stories and events from the Old Testament, it symbolizes our life experiences today. As Christians, we too are on a pilgrimage, a journey to the new Jerusalem, to Zion, the city of God. We are traveling to our final destination, to that eternal home, heaven, where the tabernacle, the house of God, is found. You know, all Christians are pilgrims. We're all pilgrims. Pilgrim means movement, so we are traveling to a holy place. Heaven is our promised land. And on this journey, we will also go through our Valley of Baca. Some of us more times than others. Most, if not all of us, have already been there or may even be there today. Because our Baca represents those times in our lives when we are in a place of difficulty, when times are hard, when there's a cause for weeping. Whether it be from a heart problem or a stroke or cancer or some other illness, weeping because of the intense physical pain and suffering that has become part of our daily existence, perhaps an accident. Still, some are brought to tears over the mental anguish of a situation that perhaps through no fault of their own has come upon them. A death, mourning for a loved one, family problems, some often involving children, marriage difficulties, a miscarriage, divorce, even times of discouragement or loneliness, times when we have feelings of fear or of being unloved or being deserted or forgotten, or times of desperation or depression, or times we think we have been dealt a bad hand, or question why did God do this to us, or allowed it to happen. Yes, sometimes we feel crushed. But in addition to these temporal trials, we have something that is peculiar to ourselves called spiritual trials. Sometimes it seems like we, the Lord's people, have a double portion allotted to us. We have spiritual trials that far outweigh some of those of a temporal nature. Sharp and cutting temptations, subject to the fiery darts of Satan and the workings of a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We also have the doubts and concerns that work in our minds like the fear of death, whether or not we're truly saved, or inward guilt and grief on account of our idolatrous, adulterous, sinful nature. Tears over a lost opportunity, tears due to repentance over sin, enduring persecutions and perhaps receiving severe blows from non-Christians. Yes, and even some from fellow Christians. These are but some of those storms and sorrows we go through in this life that draw tears from our eyes. It is indeed a valley of tears. For us, the Lord's family, this valley of Baca, which we have to pass through to reach our heavenly haven as we try to live a godly life. David wept over his own sin. Jeremiah wept over the sins of Israel. The Apostle Paul was brought to tears over the burden of the ministry. He said in Acts 21, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." We are not exempt, folks, from this. Yes, these are dry, desolate times that come upon any one of us at any time. None of us will go through this life without traveling the Valley of Tears. Rarely would any one of us escape it. Like some of you, I too have gone through that valley a few times. And know this, folks, that Pastor Edgar and we elders feel your hurt. We pray for you and we care for you as much as we can. Spiritually speaking, God often allows us to experience from time to time the wonderful heights of the mountaintops. Yes, yet to only come down to the lowest depths of the valley. And we wonder why. Why can't we stay on the mountaintop? Why must we walk through the depths of the valley? The truth is that valleys are a part of life. Every person has their share of problems and troubles. And this is where God grows us. Right? We grow and mature in the valleys, not on the mountaintops. Remember that you and I are on a pilgrimage. The world is not our home. God has designed you and me for something better. Baca is not our home. We are only passing through. Just as David wrote in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We do not lose heart. Even though our outward self is perishing, our inner self is being renewed day by day. This far outweighs any suffering we might experience in this world. Every Christian sooner or later finds themselves in the valley of Baca, filling it with tears. A lady was here last week, and she was crying her eyes out, her heart out. She had just lost her son. And yes, and rightly so, crying. But God's promises are very clear as to how we can be victorious, whatever our situation is. What is this psalm telling us? And here's the crux of it. When the righteous pass through a time of suffering or grief, they can turn it into a time of refreshment, a time of blessing. That's the promise. These folks here in this psalm made a well. They dig a well while in the valley of Baca to refresh themselves so they can continue on their way. And when they do that, God abundantly pours down rains of blessing and comfort and assurance to them. That's what we have to do when we're in the valley of Baca. First, we need to dig into the promises of God's word. There is a well of comfort, a well of victory in the word of God, but we usually don't take the time to really dig deep. Someone once said that the Bible is like scratching the earth with a hoe. You can dig up potatoes just from the surface, but to dig diamonds, you have to dig deep. There we will find promises that will offer us encouragement, promises that will provide for our healing, promises that will bring us comfort while traveling through the valley of weeping. We also need to dig into the presence of God by prayer, by worshiping and praising God. He desires that we seek him with all of our heart as we walk this valley of tears called life. When we walk it as a child of God, Jesus walks it with us. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Moses traveled the valley of tears as he fled into the wilderness, but he dug a well. He rebuilt his relationship with God and drank from that well. That rain of blessings God provided and became the great leader of the children of Israel. Abraham traveled the valley of tears as God led him to the mountaintop to sacrifice his son upon the altar as a symbol of his faith and obedience to God. But God had a well prepared for Abraham. He provided a ram for the sacrifice of his son, in place of his son. Job traveled the valley of tears as Satan was allowed to strip away everything that God had blessed him with. But spiritually speaking, Job dug a well in the desert. He never lost his relationship with the giver of all good things. Job drank from the well of living water, and God restored to him many times more than what he had lost. David traveled the valley of tears. As he failed God so many times, even having an illegitimate son from another man's wife, and watching God take away that son because of his sin. But David found the well that the rain of God had filled in his life and called upon God once again to forgive and restore him. Paul, when he was suffering in 2 Corinthians, that God's grace was sufficient for him. He is the same apostle who lost everything in his service for Christ. Through shipwrecks, imprisonments, beatings, hunger, stoning, and more. He lost everything he didn't need, but he kept everything that he did need. Most important, he kept his love for God in Jesus Christ. Tears are a language that God understands. Tears speak more about what our hearts feel than any words could ever express. Tears are tiny drops of humanity that creep down our cheeks and carry the message that we are hurting. Our hearts are aching and are broken. When words just won't come, it's our tears that shout out to God. We are the Lord's people, and we are His responsibility. He will bless our lives. It is simply a matter of our learning to trust Him and rest in Him, especially when we are in our valley of tears of weeping and misery. We have many great examples of this right here in our church family. Some of you are here this morning who have dug or are digging deep wells in your valley of tears and are being refreshed by the abundance of God's blessings, having unwavering trust and growing stronger in your faith. Trusting God and thanking God for being there with you and looking forward with hope for that wonderful place called the City of God, Heaven. We see your faith and your trust in God, and it's an inspiration for the rest of us pilgrims and for those coming after us. You know what Paul meant when he wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 8? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that is compared to eternity, but for a moment is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Yes, this is a journey through the valley of Baca, but blessed are we who will dig a well and learn, who will draw knowledge and get understanding, and who will not allow the valley to discourage us, but will turn our face toward God and search for the lessons that God is trying to teach us. This does not mean that we should not mourn or weep. Certainly, there are times when that is needed. Jesus himself wept and mourned. If you are in the valley right now and there seems to be no way out, I want you to know that God has already prepared a well for you to supply you with his refreshing rain, to turn your sorrow into joy. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. So we may boldly say this, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. He will be with us to the end. Then too, along with Jesus, we have our friends, you and me, right here in this church. A family that can provide support to care for and be there for each other. Amen. The first promise in our text is this, who passing through the valley of Baca. Believers are promised they will not be in the dry valley forever. We will get through it. Refreshing rain will come. Psalm 30 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So most assuredly, as God's people, we should sing with joy as we're marching to Zion. That's a great hymn. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. That is what we are doing, pilgrims. God forbid that anyone would want to get comfortable in the valley of Baca. Who likes to live with self-pity, hanging on to their burdens, never digging a well. They miss out on the joy, the refreshing rain of God's blessings, and also miss the peace that comes with thanksgiving and faith in God's promises. Perhaps there's some of you here this morning that don't understand this message. Maybe you've never had a valley experience, or maybe you've never had a personal experience with God, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, never surrendered your life to Him. You've never been saved. If so, you have no hope whatsoever of reaching the heavenly city of God. However, you will also go through this same valley of tears and woe, but to a totally different destination than heaven. You will enter that place Jesus called the lake of fire. Do you know this morning? Are you absolutely sure where your eternal destination is? Before coming to Christ, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, traveled from England to Georgia in the United States as a missionary. But the experience was a failure, and here's why. As he returned home in frustration, his ship ran headlong into a terrible storm, a valley of Baca. Wesley was terrified, but he couldn't help noticing a group of German Christians. Any of you German background here this morning? Let's see your hands. Come on, put them up. We're surrounded, men. Anyway, take heart from this. They noticed a group of German Christians aboard the ship. They trusted God so completely that they held a worship service in the storm. In the middle of their singing, a wave rose over the vessel and bore down like Niagara Falls. But the Christians didn't miss a note. Wesley realized these German believers had something he didn't have. And through their influence, he shortly trusted Christ completely and felt, as he said, "My heart was strangely warmed." Trusting Christ enables us to sing in the storm. Our Lord gives songs in the night times, and he teaches us to sing songs of deliverance as we wait on him. An old hymn says, "Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord." And others, noticing the melody in our lives, will be drawn to Christ. Think about that. If you have a smile on your face, a spring in your step, and a song in your heart this morning, you've learned through faith in Jesus Christ to cope with time, your time or times in the valley of Baca. Is your strength in God? Have we learned our weakness, feebleness, helplessness, hopelessness, and to lean our weary soul on the strength of Jesus? Blessed is the one whose strength is in you, Jesus. Well, there's so many uplifting scriptures and songs of promise and hope and reasons for joy and confidence that I could give you this morning, but I'll close with these last two verses. One is from this very Psalm 84, verse 12. It says this, "O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the one who trusts in you." And this from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. You probably know it's very familiar. "They that wait upon the Lord," stop. Did you ever notice that there's a condition here? There's a condition here. "They that wait upon the Lord," they that are patient, praying believers, "shall renew their strength. They shall soar with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Church, hold all of God's promises close to your heart. Amen. Thank you. Donald Lee is going to come up now, and we're going to have a little different closing the service this morning. Where's Donald Lee? There she is. She's going to go up and lead us in a song.